Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love the colourful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon your hair, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and he's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
He's Luke Moore.
All right.
And he always gives us excitations. It's Pete Donaldson.
Germany calling. Can you hear me? Hello.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody. Footballs have been happening.
Yeah,
and they're going to happen on the weekend.
Don't modify the catchphrase this early
on.
The accidental catchphrase.
It's already too long for a hashtag. We established that. Now you've got footballs have been happening.
Yeah.
Stop trying to catch my catchphrases. Crystal Palace are at home to Leicester City.
Mm.
Aladici won. Wenger nil is a chapter in his autobiography.
It will be. Oh, it already is.
Surely it already is.
It is, yeah. It is.
Right.
Perhaps he should update that to 3-0, Jim. I mean, what a win at home for Arsenal Crystal Palace got. Mm. My goodness, Jim, the resident Arsenal fan that you are must be fuming.
I'm just bored now. Is it that weird a result when you look at the context of how terrible
Arsenal
are?
Oh, come on, Jim. Arsenal are going for Champions League places. They've been beaten by a side, which were relegation fodder only a few weeks ago.
Fourth away loss in a row, though. So,
you've accepted it.
Yeah.
So have the players.
Yeah. Well,
I just don't want to give Sam anything.
Yeah, well, he got 3 points there, didn't he?
Yeah.
And former Palace man Sasa Cercic was dancing in front of the home faithful.
I watched this at home and I was watching it with my wife, who knows nothing about football. Mm. Right. And you see the Palace players celebrating at the end of the game on Monday night, which is what you're referring to. Mm-hmm. And then, no word of a lie, Sasa Cercic jumped onto the pitch. Bald head, Palace shirt on, dancing around. And Mimi, my wife, said, "Who's this? Who's that on the TV?" And I said, "Oh, it's just some fan. Don't worry.
Yeah.
He jumped onto the pitch.
Don't worry. Just don't look directly at him."
Yeah. She said, "Oh, is he allowed to do that?" And I said, "No, he'll definently be. He'll get banned for that now.
He'll get rugby tackled."
2 hours later, I'm checking social media. It's Sasa Cercic. And then I try to explain to my wife who Sasa Cercic was. No point.
Which is hard.
No point.
Yeah. Even if he walked
a drunk
in now,
Serbian man.
Yeah. Even if he walked in now, having looked at pictures of him today, I don't think I'd recognise him.
No.
He doesn't look like the Sasa Cercic I remember.
He was quite a drawn kind of thin character when he was playing, wasn't he? And bearing in mind, I think he only played for Palace for 2 years or something.
I don't know if it was even that.
I don't know if it's out there. He'd get in the current Arsenal team.
Hang on. Only played for two. How many years did Selez play for Newcastle?
Yeah, he's a legend, isn't he?
He's not dancing on the pitch.
He's like Village at West Ham.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All-time club legend.
He's one of our own.
Yeah.
Cercic was on the pitch at half-time being interviewed, and he obviously thought, "Oh, I've got access all areas now.
I've got a taste for it now.
I'm going to make the most of this."
He's probably still there.
Yeah. There's a great video of him at a stoplight, and he's mounted part of the pavement with his car, and he's got some techno blaring about, and he's just dancing around on top of his Mercedes, dancing around in front of it as well. And
on top of his Mercedes?
Yeah, and he's putting big old divots in the top.
Yeah.
I don't think he was well for a bit of a while, but I mean, he was having a lovely time, and everyone was loving him.
A portent.
Yeah.
For you.
Look, I can't drive.
A P-tent.
Yeah. Not driving won't stop you. We all know that. But also, that gives the impression that Cercic might have done that if Palace had lost as well.
Yeah.
The man just likes to move.
I think he would have done. I think he absolutely would have done.
I think they should.
He wants to move.
I think they should implement that at home games if they win. Cercic dance on the pitch. Because I can remember, as I'm sure you all do, John Pantsill at Fulham. When Fulham used to do the
lap of Cloven Cottage,
which was wonderful.
Well, I mean, they talk about. Do you remember when Arsenal moved into the Emirates? They had to have a big old Arsenalification of the Emirates and stuff like that. And they had the Tony Adams statue and the Terry Henry statue installed, and they had the clock.
That took a little while, though.
Yeah, but and they had that
still
big banner around the side.
It?
Yeah, okay.
Whenever a club joins a new stadium, for example, if Crystal Palace wanted to move and move into a new stadium, you should have Sasa Djurdjic or any of the clubs he's played for.
Maybe every club should have a sort of a dancer. Everyone gets an ex-legend that becomes like a Bez sort
like
of figure.
Like a Bez type. What about if Crystal Palace moved into a new stadium and every stand was called the Sasa Djurdjic stand?
There'd be parties all over the place,
mate. It would be.
Glad all over, we would be.
But on this game...
The Holy Churchich, it could
it
be
would
called
be.
Or something.
It would be. They, obviously, Palace are entertaining Leicester this weekend.
Yes.
What a difference a few weeks makes, I think. I mean, 4 or 5 weeks, you say.
Well, what a difference a Mamadou Sakho makes.
Oh, magnificent. I know that...
you turned into Barry Davis then, you were so happy.
He's absolutely magnificent.
Do you know why? Because I'm still... despite everything else, I still love a great centre-back performance.
Oh, yeah.
I know Jamie Carragher's absolutely eviscerated Arsenal already, so we don't need to do that. But Sakho would have walked into that Arsenal defensive line on that night because he absolutely loves just doing the basic defending. Mm. He just loves doing it. And there was a couple of occasions in the Arsenal game where he sort of got dragged out of position, he had to do something on the ball, and you thought, not sure about this. And he thought, but when you get him back between the, the edges of the penalty area, down the middle of the pitch, he'll eat stuff up all day. If you put him in there on a Monday night game to eat up balls, to kick away, to clearance, to make tackles, he will do it till Thursday night.
Absolutely right.
Without stopping. He doesn't want half time. He doesn't need it. He absolutely loves it. And he has been absolute revelation there for them.
Since his debut, Palace have kept 4 clean sheets and won 5 games out of 6.
Amazing.
What a contrast to the previous defensive performance.
Yeah. They put on 15 points.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And what you were just saying there goes back to something that I think it was Jim said in a previous podcast about. That's the type of defending maybe he quite likes doing.
Yeah, he's got to be busy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not going to... I mean, we spoke about being at the Madrid derby and how the defenders like Ramos and so on and so forth like to get the ball and play out from the back and blah, blah, blah. There is a lot of different ways to defend in a football match. And that's a very valid way, especially for a side like Crystal Palace. At Liverpool, it's slightly different, but still, it's got its worth.
Well, what
its weight
talking
in gold
about? You're right, and you're talking about skill sets. We talk about it in the context of goalkeepers. Mm. We talk about it in terms of defending. You know, if you look at how Barcelona, I mean, it's probably a poor example because of the result last night, but a team who likes to dominate possession has been successful doing so. Mm-hmm. The defending they're required to do is more concentration, making the right decision, knowing who's around, who you to pass
also
the ball.
Also, being comfortable on the ball.
And absolutely. And if someone like Saka, who was then moved up to a team like Liverpool, maybe didn't really suit him that well. Muck and bullet stuff, there are some defenders who are much better at doing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Barcelona aren't going to sign Saka. But you know, at the same time, for Palace, he's absolutely fantastic. He's different levels, different styles of play.
Different style of play. I mean, if you've got the defender who likes to be on the front foot, then playing for a Palace might be better. As if one defender prefers to play on the back foot, you know, you're constantly turning because you're pushing the team up the pitch and the teams play against you on the counter. It's a different style of defending.
Absolutely. I mean, Sergio Ramos wants to pass the ball out. Mamadou Sakho wants to destroy the ball.
Yeah, he doesn't
just
want
to burst it with
the clearance. He's thinking, do we really need a ball?
Let's get rid of the ball altogether. Because let's burst all of them so I can stop this.
If we don't have a ball, we can't concede.
Mm. But at Liverpool, his attitude was questioned by Jurgen Klopp. He had to train with the under-23s. Obviously, he's been loaned out now. There was all that sort of business. His 30-day suspension for a failed drug search, which was later rescinded. Now, that necessarily is not about his attitude, but that's about how he came over some problems and hardships.
Do you think that like working within the confines of a slightly smaller club suits some players?
Oh, definitely.
Because if you're in charge of Liverpool, there's so much going on. Yeah. You can't concentrate on one particular ego or training needs, maybe. But at Palace, and with someone who, with the manager who's a little bit more defensively minded than Pardew, for example, you're going to get the best out of.
I also think if you're a player at a club like Liverpool and you're not a big name player. And the organisation is so big that it's almost like when you go to university, if you go to a massive university, you're just almost completely anonymous. I know they're not anonymous because they're players, but there's not as much of a personal touch.
You were never anonymous at university.
No, I wasn't.
Well, we went to a very small one.
I didn't even get the qualifications to go to a good university. Much like everyone else.
That'll teach you.
And I include Sam the cameraman in that.
I've got ABC, so
maybe it just suits his personality better. I'm reading the latest Ancelotti book at the moment. He talks a lot about culture and about how different some clubs are like a family, some clubs are like a corporation. It just depends. But the big, going back to the game at the weekend, the big problem for Palace is I think they've only got one fully fit forward. So Saka will play, and obviously they'll probably be quite robust defensively at home again, but I think Benteke is the only fit forward they've got. Wickham's out, Campbell's out, Remy's out as well. I think they've also got Dan and Tompkins and Van Aanholt out, I think, as well. So, given to put that in context, that makes the result against Arsenal you know, even more impressive.
You can play it on the brick, can't you, when you've got quick players like Townsend? And
that's right.
So exactly, you don't necessarily need to front load it too much.
And Leicester might be absolutely knackered by because the Atletico game.
Quite, yeah. It's a huge disadvantage for them going into this game in particular. But Benteke's in great form, isn't he? He's starting to look like the player that, you know, they would hoped he would be. It's been a confusing and difficult season for Palace, but they really just Big Sam at it again, isn't he? He's just, his model is working again. It's like a sort of IKEA flat pack style of management.
Takes you a while to assemble it. Once it's done, it's never going to let
exactly.
down for about a year and a half.
Exactly.
Do you know what? Interesting reading about Allardyce's model, as you say there, Jim. That he saw that there was a swashbuckling attitude at Crystal Palace when they entered games, which is why they scored a few, especially for a club down that end of the table. But they also conceded a lot, Peter. And obviously, you have supported a club that Pardew was in charge of. You know exactly what they're talking about.
More swash than buckle.
Yeah, okay. I was waiting for some sort of comment there. I thought it might come. But Allardyce and Samuel Lee, they came in and they've made Palace a bit more streetwise. And they've also motivated them as well. And reports say that Samuel Lee picked out Andros Townsend for not training as hard as he did for England. They picked out a few players. And when I start reading about Allardyce and Samuel Lee at Palace, a part of me did think it's such a shame what happened with Allardyce in that restaurant. Yeah. Because actually, I think
they'll be playing Arsenal at some point.
But I actually think that Allardyce might get another crack at the England throne.
No way.
I think he might do in a few years. In a few years, I think.
Why is that nonsense?
The FA won't go back on that sort of thing.
Never.
I have to say I agree.
And he's getting on.
Well, Leicester are 16-5 with Bet365 to win this one. So £10 returns £42. £42, I should say, including stake, should they grab all 3 points. I mean, they've got a big game midweek, and they've got Wes Morgan out as well, I think. It's a tough ask for them.
You mess it up because you're thinking about steak.
I was.
You started salivating.
Yeah. If you get me to say steak, I will become unfocused.
Like me and Vianetta.
Pounds.
The crazy thing about Leicester is they could finish about eighth.
That's right.
They could finish eighth.
At the start of the season, I said bottom half of the table. I thought I might even be missing out on this because they might get relegated. Now I'm missing out because they might be in the top half of the table.
Oh, Peter. We should say, it's not all about you.
It is about me.
We should say that at the time of recording, Leicester haven't played Atletico Madrid because we were recording day earlier. Yeah. So they might be riding high off a wonderful win at the Vincenzo Calderon, or they might be tail between their legs and looking to take some kind of anger out on Crystal Palace.
It's a lovely stadium name.
It is.
Vicente Calderon.
And they're also, I mean, they're going to get a run around, aren't they? They're going to be run to the ground by Atletico.
You'd think. Even if they win, they'll be knackered.
That's right, Jim. Spurs are hosting Bournemouth. Spurs can cut the deficit to 4 points as Chelsea go away to Manchester United on the Sunday. Harry Redknapp has said that Spurs will win the league in the next 2 years.
Thanks, Harry.
Next 2 years. Big predictions from old Redders.
Well, he sort of saying that he laid the foundation / bedrock / sharp sand for this particular.
He's hoping for a Gerard Houllet-esque medal be minted for him.
He and Tim Sherwood.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if any other team in the top divisions in Europe. I mean, I'm sure there are one or two have got a good home record at Spurs. I mean, their home record is fantastic. You can't see Bournemouth getting anything at Spurs. I mean, I know that the sort of statistics would say that at some point they're probably going to lose a home game, but it wouldn't necessarily be this season. I can't see them losing to Arsenal at home.
No, so, yeah, God.
But Bournemouth at home is pretty easy game, dare I say it. And again, they'll put the pressure on Chelsea because they play on Sunday, right? But I think, again, I've said this 100 times, if Chelsea go away to Man United and win, it's done. Yeah. Well, put your clothes on, it's all over.
Yeah, well, Spurs, they were unlucky, if you know what I mean, that Man City never got a point at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And that was a big one for them, and that didn't happen. This is the big one, surely, this weekend. Yeah. Spurs have got a very winnable game at home, and Chelsea have got to go away to Manchester United. And as you say, that Spurs can put a little bit of pressure because they play the day before. Jim, are you worried about Tottenham?
No.
Interpret that how you will.
Not this season, certainly. I do think Chelsea will win it, and then I can just put my fingers in my ears for the summer and see what happens come next August. But I think Spurs are in a strange situation at the moment where, because, you know, it's unlikely but not impossible that they'll win the league. It's like there's not much pressure on them. Now, they respond to pressure really, really well anyway. They don't seem fazed by absolutely anything. But it's not as if the real sort of tense kind of real difficult pressure of like being in a title race and any drop point being an absolute disaster is on them, because they're just far enough that they can keep going on.
Yeah. I know what you mean. They're improving year on year. It's just unfortunate Chelsea have had a massive improvement this season. It's hard to see what more Spurs can do, really. They're probably going to end the season with, you know, well over 75 points. Probably going to get around 80 points at least, you'd think. They're on 68 now. They've just got to keep winning. They've just got to keep doing their thing. They're the form team in the Premier League. I know they've got a couple of injuries. I know Harry Winks is injured now, and he's been an important player for them coming on late on in games. And Danny Rose is still out, but they've got, you know, players who can come in and do
I've heard
work.
Big things for Harry Winks in the future.
Yeah, I think so.
Certain Spurs fans have... There's not some sort of crystal ball I've been looking at, but Spurs fans really are quite excited about old Winksy.
He's good. He's neat and tidy. He's got a good competitive sort of edge to him. I think he's going to improve a great deal. And yeah, some of the players that have come on leaps and bounds under Pochettino, if they can keep Pochettino at the club, it's big things are guan, as they say.
Yeah. He'll be a target, though, won't he?
Oh, big time. But they all will be. That's the problem. They all will be. And that's what they need to move into the new stadium, establish themselves as a Champions League club.
Stay away from the lasagna.
They're in London. Yeah, quite. They're in London. So there's no reason. If they're an established Champions League club with a new stadium in London, no reason, apart from, you know, the very, very big clubs like Barcelona, Real Madrid, Man United, they can attract pretty much anyone.
I'm not thinking of the manager going, though. That's the thing. I mean, he's been so important.
But I think he wants to build a project there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's pretty much said as much as that. And a lot of those players, you know, you look at Dele Alli and Harry Kane in particular, they're very settled there. You know, they want to be there.
Did you see Dele Alli's birthday cake?
Yeah.
I mentioned on Monday that it was his birthday, his 21st birthday on Tuesday, I think. Certainly this week, he had a birthday cake, and it was hilarious because all the newspapers and all the tabloid websites picked up the fact that he couldn't blow the candles out properly. You've been happy, Nelson.
I've been where? What, to his house?
No, you have. Well, not officially.
I've been outside. You light through his bins.
Yeah.
You've been there when fire is happening in front of you. You've tried to blow it out and it's not gone out. And you've panicked.
When was the last time you had a candle on your birthday cake?
Arsonists always return at the scene of the crime, that's all I'm saying.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay.
If there's ever a fire, the police are trained to scan the crowd.
One of the first things Pete said to me was, to catch a criminal, you first must become one.
Yeah.
So you like to go back and look at your handiwork, is
that
what you're saying?
To catch Dele Alli, I have to become Dele Alli.
Right.
I'm not really sure how that's going to manifest itself. That's why I'm wearing the full kit.
You'd have to get about 15 years younger first. That's the big problem.
I can do a handshake.
While we're on Bournemouth, can we have a little bit of appreciation for Josh King? He's got 10 goals in 2017. Do you think Bournemouth will hang on to him next season?
13 goals in the Premier League.
Jim,
this season, I think,
do you think Bournemouth are going to hang on to him?
Well, I think they might struggle. You know, I think he might get a move to a bigger club. With all due respect to Bournemouth, because, you know, that's an impressive record. He's in really, really good form at the moment. He looks like he just suits the league very well.
Yeah,
Bournemouth. He's got enough years left in him for sure.
Bournemouth finished 16th on 42 points last season. And I think they're on 35 points this season. Yeah. They have winnable games left to better that this season. But Eddie Howe, keeping Bournemouth up in the first season, and they look like that they're gonna stay up this season. I mean, they're 7 points off relegation, but they do look pretty comfortable. Mm. Yeah, as comfortable as they can. But why didn't you say that, though? If they lose that game and then a few results go their way, but I would expect them to stay up. If Howe keeps them in the division for two seasons in a row, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Just silence. You're stunned into silence.
I thought that's a well-rounded point, well made.
Thank you.
I'm not going to make any further addition to that because I was just cheapening it. Yeah. Now I have done, so up yours.
You were thinking to yourself, I've talked about Dele Alli's birthday. How can I talk about Nathaniel Klein's birthday?
The reason, quite.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the
Sturridge with his gold grills.
Yeah, I saw a really funny quote from Daniel Sturridge. It was either on, I can't remember what it was on, but someone put the camera to him or put a microphone to him, or I read it or something like that. He just said, Mans is out here.
He said, Mans is out here.
I don't know what it means.
Mans is out here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out here.
Does it mean I'm available, but I'm not being picked?
Not sure. Not sure.
Mans wants to play.
But to go back to Bournemouth, the reason they won't get relegated is because they're playing Middlesbrough, Sunderland, and Burnley at home.
I said they had winnable games.
Yeah, they do.
You can almost take those ones off.
Yeah, just save all the bother, save all the blooming logistics.
3-0?
Yeah. Just do it. Yeah, take a 3-0.
If one of those is on like the bank holiday Monday, the players will be going, so do we have to play this? Right? Do we get it off?
David Moyes and Sunderland take a 3-0 defeat, and David Moyes will happily still do the post-match interview going, do you know what? I'm pleased with the lads today. Yeah. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But going back to Spurs, they're now 9-1 with Bet365 to win the title, so to turn it around. So £10 will return £100, including stake.
It's an interesting one. I'd love it if by the end of the weekend it was down to 4 points.
Would it be more of an achievement for them to do it compared to what Leicester did last season from this point in the season? Well, so 10 games to go and they're in the home straight.
No, Leicester's... It's incomparable.
Yeah. Incomparable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to parable it.
Well, you can do that in the break, because after the break, you're going to read some emails, we're going to talk more Premier League, and we're going to tell everyone about our live show on the 27th of May at Hackney Empire.
All right, then.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. I bet you're wondering what could happen in this break. Well, and before we go to emails with PED, let's talk about briefly our live show on the 27th of May at Hackney Empire. Luke, this is going to be the big one.
Mm. Yeah, tickets are now on sale. You can go to the Hackney Empire website to pick them up for the show, as Marcus says, on Saturday the 27th of May. Or you can check our social media feeds for all that info and to get tickets while you still can. Do move quickly. What I did is I checked out, we did a tour late last year to support our book. And the C Tickets website allows users to give reviews of the live show.
Don't read them out.
We got five reviews. I'm not going to read them all. It was well reviewed, but that's not the point. Some of the comments are amazing. Right. This one is particularly my favourite from John O'Elliott. He says, all four of the fellas were on good form, great sports, and hang about afterwards to speak with anyone that could be bothered.
I'd like to know if he was bothered.
I talked to a lot of lads who accidentally set fire to Marcus's court. So yeah. Apologies to that.
Okay, but Marcus, were you?
I don't think you've even noticed.
No. I wondered what that was.
An arsonist always returns to the scene of the court.
I genuinely wondered what that was.
Did you? Was there actually?
They'll
be buying
tickets, then, won't they? They're always going to return.
Tossers.
You will not be abused.
You can use the money from their tickets to buy a new coat, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if someone...
I wonder what the hell that was. That really annoyed me.
This is about as genuinely annoyed as Marcus has ever been on the podcast.
What, how am I not going to get annoyed at that?
Can you do it again?
They scotched it by accident. They didn't mean to do it. They weren't sort of going, ha, I'm going to burn
let's
this
let's do
court.
Some arson.
That would be mad.
So they went up to the... Oh, anyway.
In this live show, mate, if someone comes up on stage and sets Pete on fire, I'll give him the money back.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I've got this one other quote from a guy called Sputnik, who says, one of the questions on the review thing is, who or what would you say this is event best for? And he's put humans and dogs.
Yeah, fair.
Favourite moment, Peter. You just put Peter.
It's exactly. Yeah. I was on farm, that's why.
Yeah. Well, there was a moment.
Drunk, that's why.
You had a moment, and he was like, there's Peter there.
We've got loads of stuff planned, though, for the show. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, Pete, we still got to talk about that. you've been told consistently over the years that you do not plan anything without the consent of the rest of us.
I've bought costumes.
Okay.
One is on your head, be that.
Loss of costumes.
One of your most recent ideas was so shocking to me that I had to remove myself from the theatre of conflict.
The WhatsApp group.
And think about it.
Yeah. Your idea for the finale of the show, I remember thinking to myself, that's against like some EU law, and it'll still be against British law.
Post Brexit, mate.
Do you think that's why we left?
Wild West.
Everyone's like, we want the end. We want the climax of the show that Pete promised us that the EU wouldn't have.
Donaldson lobbying in the shadows of the politicians of this country. Get your tickets Saturday, 27th of May, at Hackney Empire in London. Tickets are available now. They're going to sell, so just get them as quick as you can.
There we are. Right, Len, PTD. You've got some emails for us.
Come on,
get your emails out for the lads.
All right, and chap, let me just scroll past the
naughtiness.
The grot on my phone.
It's always the same time, every show. Right. It's always the same.
Well, the problem is I printed it out with some new printer ink I bought.
Yeah.
And then I forgot to bring the sheet, didn't I? So I
again,
what did I say to him when we sat down and before the mic's on, I went, have you got your emails ready? Yeah.
I've got my emails ready, but it's on my phone, so I've got to unlock my phone. And it's on flight mode, so I've got to load that in.
Well, then they're not ready, are they?
Marcus, it's an improvement on a week and a half ago when he hadn't even got them out of his bag. Halfway through the show, bag still closed.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. Right. Really,
if you want that level of organisation, come and see us at the Hackney Empire. Yeah. All right, Ramblers. Martin Max says on Monday's show, the retirement of The Undertaker was discussed, and Pete claimed he never watches WrestleMania or anything, or only watches WrestleMania these days. However, at the Glasgow show, during the Celtic Rangers shout off, which I don't remember what I was doing. Do we do a Glasgow Rangers shout off?
You were,
no,
you
we
were
wearing the dual shirt.
You were wearing a shirt that had half Rangers, half Celtic kit on.
Right. Okay.
We were worried about. I was basically thinking about exit routes for the whole show. there must have been some shout at some point, and then we got given whiskey, and then the rest is a blank.
So I was thinking myself, this is my idea.
I got the sleeper train back from Glasgow.
Well, apparently that show, I asked if anyone was a fan of Shinsuke Nakamura, the King of Strong Style. Am I lying about my wrestling watching Double Life, or is this part of your Japanese fetish, Pete? No, it's not. So have a bit of that. Hello to Rich, who says, hi, chaps. Given that there's been a lot of chat from other continents, I thought I'd have a crack. I work in New York City.
Showing off, just emailing to show off.
I need to walk across Central Park in the morning to get to work. I've recently acquired a puppy, so I'm always on the lookout for other dog doppelgangers. When I finally found one, I obviously struck up a conversation with the pup's owner, who was none other than Roman Abramovich.
Okay.
A man of few words, but many grunts. Fearing I'd soon be accosted by burly Russian goons, I swiftly said my goodbyes and went off to work. What I would say is, that's clearly not him,
Roman Abramovich.
Is it? You wouldn't get within a metre of him.
What I'm saying, what I'm saying, I'm going to go further than that. What's his name?
Rich.
Rich, that didn't happen.
Well,
it didn't happen.
Right. Well, he goes on to say, but it did get me thinking, was that dog his American dog, in inverted commas? Like, he's got a dog on every continent, every pot.
I'm looking to be in America next week, so can you please motivate the American dog? He'll need a walk.
Activate Agent Border Terrier.
Yeah.
How far does he travel with his dog, and do dogs suffer from jet lag? Anybody know?
I have no idea.
They must do, surely.
What was the first question?
How far does he travel with his dog, do you reckon?
Right, I don't know that, but what I can answer is on the jet lag thing. Right. I've got two cats, as you guys know, Hercules and Magnus. Can be official Ramble Cats if you want. When we put the cocks forward.
Don't put the cats forward, Matt.
I thrust my cats forward. Yeah. When I put the clocks forward, they notably and very, very clearly wanted their food at a different time. Definite.
That's so weird.
So definitely, I mean, it's hard to tell with jet lag with cats because they sleep all the time anyway.
Yeah,
but they definitely have a... Look, if you take anything away from this show this week, cats have a sense of time.
Cats know.
They know.
Cat time.
I couldn't speak on dogs. I mean, Marcus, you've got a dog, so maybe you could tell. Winston,
well, my parents do. Yeah,
Winston. What's he like? Is he like the time change?
Well, I think the fact that they just sort of sleep sporadically throughout the day, I don't think that's a problem. But I think if they're a bit peckish, or they wanted to walk, you might have to go back into that routine.
Yeah, okay, I know what you mean. So who knows?
Who knows is the answer. Jeff Holmes, I've got a Dutch final one for now. Hi, guys. My highlight of the week is definitely the newly crowned Masters champion, Sergio Garcia, announcing he wants to do the ceremonial kickoff for El Clasico later this month. Mm. It's not the fact that he wants to do it that gets me. It's his public posturing. Garcia, a member and fervent Real fan, told the radio station, doing the kickoff would be great to do it. It would be beautiful. I'm not available for the Champions League quarterfinals against Bayern Munich at the Bernabeu on April 18th, but I'm available for Clasico, and I will go and see it.
I've never had a phone. Sorry. Who did you say you were again?
Yeah.
Just row back a bit.
You want to do what?
Am I going to need a pen?
At some point, I know Real will honour me because they are classy.
Okay, right.
So he's basically saying, as Jeff admits, hey, fellas, I know you want to get me in ASAP to do the kick, and I'm not available for the Champions League, so I will settle for El Clasico.
Do they do a kick?
Who knows?
Yeah, this is bizarre.
Yeah, it's not like throwing the baseball, is it? Yeah. Allow someone else to come and kick.
I know that.
The ball
I think Ronaldinho did a kick once, but that might have been in Mexico or something. I can't quite remember.
He just ran on, did it?
Yeah.
Sasha Churches has done one.
Well, no, that's a sick. Yeah. A ceremonial sick.
You get to take one set piece.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Like, do you remember when Great Britain had that hockey specialist?
Yeah.
Who could come on, the way the rules were in hockey.
That's right.
It's just field hockey for our American country.
Yeah.
And they would get this guy on, I forget his name. It might have been Sean Curley. Maybe not. Anyway, they get someone on. When they got a penalty corner, or whatever.
Penalty corner, yeah.
Yeah. This guy would come on because he'd be a specialist in this discipline.
Right.
And then he'd go off again because there's rolling subs.
Ah.
Imagine if you could do that in football.
Well, didn't they?
Yeah, it'd be class.
People like what's his name? Junio Pernambucano would still be playing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Pedro Mendes might still have something to say.
Well, he's still getting the Portsmouth team. But he will not swallow his pride.
Weren't they going to get David James and David Beckham to do kicks in NFL?
He tried that.
Yeah, I think David James.
Idea, wasn't it?
No, David James was going to be a...
No, it wouldn't have been a quarterback, surely. It would have been...
I think it was a kicker, wasn't it? No, it's a punter.
It's a kicker. Yeah.
Was he not catching the ball as well? Because obviously you've got save pair of hands.
Who?
David James?
No, he was just a kicker.
Was it just a kicker?
Yeah,
was it?
And a friend of mine who I used to play football with, he lived in Germany for a while, and he tried out for a German NFL team, essentially, to be a kicker.
Was it the Berlin Thunder?
I don't know, actually. Okay. I'm not sure. But they'd always... those teams would always be scouting... soccer, say, football team, because those guys could strike the ball best, you know what I mean? And David James definitely tried out for one. I don't know if he stuck around for it, but it did happen, yeah.
I'd like to see Beckham. Could be a right curl on it.
Yeah.
He could sort of do it, you know what I mean? He can boot a ball really far.
The funny thing about NFL, right, is that I always get NFL wrong on this show, I know, and all the American people have a go at me. I'm not an expert on it at all, but sometimes when a team is chasing the game, they score, then they have to kick it back to the other team. So that normally what they'll do is they'll boot it as far as they can to get the territory, right?
Yeah.
But if they want the ball back quickly, they'll do what's called an onside kick, where they'll just do a little grubber.
That's right.
And it has to go a certain amount of distance.
Sorry, what's a grubber?
It's like a little kick along the ground, basically. Get the ball back, and all the other players know, so they try and leap on the ball as quick as they can. But the technique is terrible. I reckon there's definitely a gap in the market for ex-pro football players to actually do that.
Surely like Andy Cole, just a little tap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although he might miss the ball four times and get on the field. Hey, come on.
There it is.
He used to play for Manchester United.
Any more emails?
Not very well. Get well soon, Andy Cole.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, that's not nice.
I think he's had a kidney replacement or something.
Yeah. Okay. Any more emails?
No.
Okay, grand. But
Pete, are there any more emails or not?
But if you want to get in touch, show at thefootballramble.com. They're in my bag, up yours.
So I'll check again. So there's one with one coming then.
So how do they email to your bag? That's what I don't understand.
If you see Pete out and about, put a little note in his bag, and it may come out. Manchester United host Chelsea. This is the big one. This is the fire rubber of the weekend. Pete Donaldson. Will Chelsea choke and let Spurs back into it?
I'm just worried about rubbing my thighs at the moment because I'm wearing velour trousers.
You are.
Your own decision.
You've got hemp trousers on again.
You always say they're hemp. I've never owned a hemp bit.
Have a feel of them. They're quite velvety.
I'm touching them now. Now the trousers of a pervert.
You're the one touching other man's trousers.
Yeah, I was invited to.
I know. To be fair, I told him to.
They're not the trousers of a pervert because you would be able to see stains, wouldn't you?
Oh,
Peter. Come on. I'm just saying.
As ever, Pete, with your trousers, the stains are on the inside.
That's clearly come from your outside trousers wardrobe.
Oh, dearie me. Mourinho would love to derail Chelsea's title.
Wouldn't he? Well, I mean, they haven't lost in absolutely ages.
It's almost certainly going to be a draw.
I was about to say.
That's what
it feels
like. So
they're going to drop 2 points then, is that what we're saying?
I mean, that's great news for Spurs if they manage it, don't they? But it'd be a great chance for a bit of revenge for Mourinho, as you say. Marcus, he'd love that, wouldn't he?
I think if Mourinho is going to approach this in his textbook sort of tempestuous way, and the players follow suit, that'll be fantastic for the neutral. Would you love to see a last minute Man United winner and old Jose be off down the touch on that Old Trafford for old time's sake?
It annoys me because it's like, if he sort of loses his nonsense and kind of goes, right, guys, we're going to do this, you're going to do it. Why does he do that every match? Like, if I was a player, I'd be like, I'm not settling scores for you, mate. We should be doing this against Bournemouth when we'd be a lot higher up on the table.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Would you think it was a good move that he put Fellaini as captain? That got a bit of scrutiny.
They got a lot of raised eyebrows. And Fellaini's got a lovely pair of eyebrows. Thick and bushy.
How did he get the captain's armband over his hair?
I mean, that'd be good, wouldn't it? If it was a headband instead of an armband.
Right, yeah.
That would absolutely, I don't know what anyone says, that would 100% improve football.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If the captain's armband was a headband.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
It'd have to be a headband.
And it'd be massive, and captain would be in massive letters. I'd enjoy that.
We're not far away from it, because aren't some players, I think, possibly in Italy, haven't they got like carte blanche now to have their own designs on the captain's arm?
Oh, really?
Is that right?
That's quite cool.
So. Yeah, it might not be Italy, but it's definitely happening.
Just Georgie like Campos to design.
Yeah. Oh, imagine that. Imagine that. It'd be about That's 6 great. Foot wide.
And there's big talk that David De Gea might be off to Madrid in the summer.
Yeah, that's a rumour that won't go
that'd
away.
That'd be a huge loss.
It's been rumbling on.
But then the other rumour is that Manchester United are looking at Gianluigi Donnarumma, the very young AC Milan goalkeeper.
I'd hate that. I think he should stay at Milan for the next 40 years.
For his whole season.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
For his whole career, sorry.
For his whole career.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll be there for the whole season. Don't worry about that. The window's shut. Yeah. Mm. It would be a huge loss as well. Chelsea's Michy Batshuayi was seen playing five-a-side with his mates. He was that relaxed about
Stop
the whole
thing. Stop playing with your sausages.
He was wearing a Galatasaray shirt, which people made a big deal of, and I thought, that could have been a lot worse, really, couldn't it?
So he's playing five-a-side just with his mates?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Should he be doing that?
I don't think
Probably
so.
Probably not.
But man's got to get a game somewhere.
I was going to say, but I love the fact that here's a guy who's apparently worth 33 million. That's what he moved for from Marseille. Is he very easy to forget that, by the way?
Yeah.
And still playing with his mates. You'd think he would be running rings around them, but then I suppose he's not maybe putting 100%
into it. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the source of all the Diego Costa rumours since January.
Yeah. did you ever see Zidane playing futsal or five-a-side? It was just incredible.
Well, of course.
I know, he's incredible, but just seeing it at that close quarters and that quick and
I love watching that space.
Yeah. Remember when he absolutely mugged off that young Real Madrid goalkeeper in that training session?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Where he dummies it and the guy goes one way and then he dummies it again. The lad is like leaping around, you know.
He's going, how many times do I have to do this?
Stop making me a meme.
It's a great YouTube video of him indoors playing five-a-side with some kids and stuff as well. It's amazing. But you know, Batshuayi, I think, has made 16 Premier League appearances this season, which is maybe one or two more than people expect. Yeah. I know a lot of them have been late on, I appreciate that. And he's not really been used an awful lot. But, you know, he's still fairly young and you know, it might all be ahead of him at Chelsea.
It's an odd come and get me, please, isn't it, to just start wearing the shirt of the team you apparently want to go to.
I don't know about Galatasaray. I mean, yeah.
They've always got money.
Actually, but you've got the big three in Turkey who are often willing to splash the cash. Istanbul's a great city, but I think he won't be wanting to go there just yet.
But Pete, if you're 23 years old and you've recently been the subject of a £33 million pound move and you end up at Galatasaray, with all due respect to them,
who doesn't like a kebab?
That is... Again, that's a little bit racist.
You'd move to Turkey for the food, wouldn't you?
I do love Turkish food, yeah.
Right. But you can get that in England.
Plenty of that in London.
Have you got any more emails?
Are they about food? I'm hungry.
What I was going to say was, if in the last 18 months you've been the subject of a £33 million move, and 18 months on you end up at Galatasaray, that is a failure.
is he really 23? I thought he was younger than that.
No, I think he's 23 now, yeah.
He's certainly his early 20s, yeah. How about this, Peter? Michael Carrick has said he used to dream of playing for Newcastle United.
So did I.
You still do.
I still do.
But he said that opportunity has passed now.
He's had therapy and he doesn't dream about that anymore.
I mean, is that that his career has got so big that he can't possibly think about darkening St. James's Park's doors?
He's outgrown his dream.
He has, yeah. He's achieved more. Yeah.
What he actually said was, I used to dream of playing for Newcastle United. But, I mean, I achieved a lot more than that. So, I'm very happy. The thing is, the situation Michael Carrick's in, it's not completely beyond the realms of possibility that Mourinho wants to move him on because he's getting on a bit. I think he's a great player, but if he did, it wouldn't be a huge surprise. Mm. Newcastle would be a perfect fit for him. They're going to be in the Premier League next season. Yeah. It's almost like Carrick doesn't want to step down to that level.
That level?
Oi, last time someone did that, it was Nicky Butt.
Yeah. I reckon he could replace Vernon and Anita.
You've kicked a ball around at Wembley, haven't you?
Yes.
Have you ever played at St James's?
No.
Would you want to put a come and get me plea out there?
I would very much like to split it.
Should we do your testimonial there?
Yeah, that'd be great.
When I leave the Ramble, I'll be yours too.
You'd love it if Carrick went and played for Newcastle, surely.
I think he's a canny player, but I mean, he's always been a canny player, hasn't he?
Yeah. A canny player.
Yeah, I think he's very underappreciated.
With regards to Newcastle, he's got a canny-do attitude.
It's just a bit of a... I think it's just a journalist going, what, Newcastle? Like, really? Yeah, like Berbatov is a fan of Newcastle. I'd just like to assemble a team of footballers who actually support Newcastle United.
Yeah, but
imagine what we might have.
Last time you had one of them as a manager, you got relegated. Yeah,
you're blaming the journalist. That's what Carrick said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well then,
maybe Newcastle were trying to get him.
Mark is taken out of context.
Yeah.
Maybe Newcastle are trying to get him, and he's just going, "Look, I'm putting this to bed. I'm just publicly saying this is never happening."
Or maybe the full quote was, "I used to dream of playing for Newcastle United, but that opportunity has passed now. What a shame."
This opportunity has passed for them.
Yeah. some people are living their dream, and Marcus Rashford is one of them. He posted on Instagram a photo of something that he wrote as an 11-year-old at school entitled Future and Aims, and it's heartwarming. It really is.
I've not seen it.
Do give it a read. It finishes with this: "I have only one aim in life, and that is to be a professional footballer and hopefully at Manchester United." 11-year-old Marcus Rashford.
That's lovely.
Yeah, he will need to do some more Future and Aims when he finishes playing football. It's a short career, but let's cross that bridge.
Can I interest him in Newcastle United?
Well, I think the 11-year-old Marcus Rashford said about that, "I've outgrown that now."
I think if he took a couple of decisions wrong, Marcus Rashford, his career might have loan move to Newcastle written all over. It's always a danger.
That is pretty much the plot to the last FIFA game. Yeah. You got loaned out and you had the choice of either Villa or Newcastle, I think.
What about Goal, the film Goal? Has that got something to do with that?
Well, he started his career there, didn't he?
Okay, right.
Santiago Munez.
I don't think it's got anything to do with it.
It's just nice to talk about it as often as possible.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Aston Villa, did you see Dr. Tony Gier on Twitter? He said,
I saw him tweet something, but I didn't really get what he was saying.
Well, he quoted somebody else. I think somebody said, it was a bit Brendan Rodgers, you know, you've been great and a breath of fresh air and all this kind of stuff. Whatever it was in that vein. And he quoted it and replied, it's too early for this praise. You know, let's wait. Hard work needs to be done and blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
You could have just ignored it.
I don't take praise very well.
So going back to the United-Chelsea game, United are 8-5 with Bet365 here to try and scupper Chelsea's title bid. So £10 on that will return £26, including the stake. Should there be a home win?
Great work on steak there, Luke.
It's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Well, you know what?
I'm still thinking about steak.
I think Spurs would take a 1-1 draw, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be happy with that. Yeah. United are without a win in 8 against Chelsea, which is the longest winless run they've ever had against the team in the Premier League. So.
Do you think that's going to have any bearing on the match, Jim?
Well, based on the form, because United draw a lot at home, don't they? I could see it being a draw.
As Luke said as well. Middlesbrough host Arsenal. This is a tough one to call, and I think that's got draw written on it.
Who knows?
No, they'll bounce back. They'll absolutely hammer Middlesbrough, I think. I really do think that.
Do you?
Yeah. It's going to happen. You know what?
Someone didn't watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah, because I didn't want to see Sad Ranieri.
Were you annoyed with Jamie Carragher sticking the boot into Arsenal?
No,
someone was. A very high profile broadcaster was.
But surely,
that was so funny.
As an Arsenal fan, you cannot have been annoyed of what Carragher was saying then.
Oh, of course not. All he's doing is expressing the frustrations that we all feel ourselves.
I know him and I are really, really good mates, but it's difficult for me to be objective.
Yeah, of course.
He's always fair. He's like scrupulous.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what makes him a good pundit, isn't he? Yeah. I think the problem Arsenal have at the moment is, and Chelsea had this last season, we've seen it before with Man United under Moyes as well. It's obviously slightly different situations, but when there's a big team who are having a rough time, all the other teams smell blood and they up their game, because even if they're playing a team that are in very bad form, it's a win to hang your hat on, isn't it? So it exacerbates the problem if your confidence is already low, and that's the problem Arsenal have going into every single game, like between now and the end of the season, really.
I think strong, like robust teams of robust individuals have this sort of wounded tiger mentality about them when they get beat. They hate getting beat, and so I think sometimes teams can be wary of that. But I think in Arsenal's case, more recently, teams, as you say, just smell blood. They just think, well, we can get amongst it here. We really can get amongst it.
Do you hear what Neil Warnock said yesterday? No. Neil Warnock said, my defenders at Cardiff City are 10 times better than the Arsenal defenders. Stay out of it, Neil. Shut up. Sticking the boot in from miles away.
As many as 10. times
would
better.
Would you not half that at least?
No.
And I love Arsenal.
Maybe that's it. He's just trying to get a John Cross again.
Yeah, he was. It's a thinly veiled dig at John Cross. I do think it's time. I don't want to get too serious about it because it's always all over the press. But I think it's about time the board showed a bit of leadership for Wenger there. I mean, because Wenger's just being hung out to dry and left to fight all his own battles.
As I've been saying for years now, the board are ridiculous, and the board needs to change as much as the management. But they are the real problem, because Stan Croker is happy to just take money out of the club, use it as effectively an investment vehicle, which is what he does with his other sports franchises as well. And that's the problem. They've been completely silent. They very, very rarely speak at all. And it's, you know, to be so quiet now is really telling, isn't it? I just think they don't care.
And but whatever they say now is going to sound like a vote of confidence, isn't it?
That's fair point.
Yeah, still, they could say something rather than nothing, which is what their current sort of...
Would you say something, I'm giving up on you.
Would you want Usmanov to be the majority shareholder? Because he's a big Arsenal fan, and he's a bit more vocal.
I really don't know. I don't know enough about the man, honest. You know, we hear a lot of things about him, but I don't know what he would actually be like, so I can't really... Absolutely. There's been a link with Mark Overmars coming in as a director of football, which would be interesting, because Wenger obviously pretty much does everything himself, so I wonder if that actually is the club laying foundations for a different structure in the future. Because part of the problem is he's so overworked. He's in the modern game, he's doing about 10 people's jobs, so replacing him is bringing in more than just a manager.
Delegate then, that's what Ferguson did all the time.
Exactly, but that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't have those people around, so maybe Overmars coming in is an idea of that. Also, something that Arsenal do quite a lot when things are bad is they link sort of an ex sort of legend to the club, and then sort of maybe wait until just after the season tickets have been renewed to announce something
maybe
the signing of a new 2-year deal.
Some people saying Arsenal need to kick up the arse. Yep. Tony Adams has said he'll give Granada players a kick up the arse.
Marcus, I was just about to say,
now
someone's making a step towards the Arsenal job. a very important first step on the long journey back to Arsenal. Big Tony Adams.
Yeah, absolutely. I should think so.
Big Tony Adams did his first press conference as Granada boss, which we covered. I believe we covered earlier in the week. And the thing that made me laugh about it, well, the thing that really made me laugh about it, I'll come into the minute. But one of the things he did in the press conference, right? He knew he's doing a press conference in like 24 hours. Okay. Even if you have to just write it down or get someone to phonetically spell it out for you on a piece of paper, at least do some of it in Spanish. It's not a hard language to read. But at least he tried. Joe Hart did it at Torino. Joe Hart sat down there and said, "This is going to be terrible. I don't speak Italian, but I really want to let you know how happy I am to be here." And did a bit in Italian. Everyone laughed. And the journalist absolutely loved it. It's endearing. People think, "Oh, what a nice guy." How can you be so arrogant to go to another country, walk into a job in the top flight, 7 games left to save their season, and not even make any motion towards making an effort to speak the language? It's absolutely ridiculous.
To be fair, Tony Adams, I'm going to kick the players' arses.
Yeah,
but he speaks English like it's his second language.
Fair. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I mean, the best thing about it was, of course, the first thing he did was get Kieran Richardson and Nigel Riococca in on trial.
Beautiful. Who's in the area on holiday?
Didn't know that.
Jim's making the face like he didn't know that.
It's not getting the band back together, it's creating a super group. That's what that is.
But Jimmy, the photos came out of him taking his first training session today, and I think people were like, "Hang on a minute, is that Nigel Riococca?"
Amazing.
Kieran Richardson, last seen at Cardiff, released from Cardiff last year. Nigel Riococca left Montreal Impact by mutual consent a year ago.
Was it a year?
Yeah.
I thought it was in January, maybe. Yeah. Was he?
I think it was a year ago, yeah. Yeah.
Is it really?
Well, listen, either way.
Yeah, I think you might.
He's left MLS by mutual consent.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not going in the correction and clarification next week when he got dumped.
Tony Adams has looked at Nigel Riococca and thought, "This is the man to maintain our La Liga status." Incredible.
Middlesbrough have re-signed Luke Armstrong from Blyth Spartans, who they released in 2014. Is he the man to save their season?
I quite like this story because it's almost like, on one hand, it's like, we made a bit of a mistake there. He's proved himself to be a good player. We'll take another chance.
23 goals.
That's a nice story. 23 goals, you say.
In the Northern Prem.
The second good thing about it is they've thought, yeah, I mean, we'll take anyone.
Just anybody we can.
Has he scored goals? 23 of them. No, don't worry about the league. 23.
If we buy him, do we get those?
Yeah. We were made promises about Alvaro and Negredo, which were not kept.
Much damaged.
Well, Armstrong's dad manages Spartans, who are on their way up to the National League North next season. But they've got a pre-season friendly with Middlesbrough in the summer, the part of the deal.
While you're right, Marcus, most of the players are indeed thinking about pre-season in the summer. Middlesbrough have still got a game against Arsenal to play this weekend. They're a big 6-1 to beat them. So £10 with Bet365 will return £70 including stake. If that happens, hold on to your hats. Get on the internet as quickly as you can. And with apologies to you, Jim. Enjoy.
Yeah,
sit back and enjoy.
Absolutely.
In the words of Graham Taylor when he took over the England job, put your feet up in front of the telly and have a good time.
Great stuff.
The late great Graham Taylor.
Luke, what's our bet of the week?
Well, our bet of the week is record-breaking listener Jack K, aka JK, who Marcus monikered him last time out, has come back with another bet of the week for his third in a row. Worth remembering that Jack has raised £260 for Prostate Cancer UK so far.
Well done, Jackie.
So with you here, JK. He's gone for... Actually, do you know what? Should I just read his email?
He's finally just
written an email. Didn't make it in the Peaks email section, but that's fine.
Or his bag.
Got to separate out. He says, "Once again, hello, Ramblers. Well, what a weekend that was. Not only did I get to toast my brother's upcoming nuptials in a trip where only dignity and two phones were left behind, but then the mighty boys in white brought home the bacon. Of course, he had Spurs -1 to beat Watford." He says, "Now, that's enough self-gratification, so on to the business end of the email, the bet of the week. My bet of the week this week is slightly more adventurous, which will almost certainly be my own downfall. This week is both teams to score treble for, listen to this, Crystal Palace versus Leicester, Everton versus Burnley, and Southampton versus Man City." I mean, he's back Burnley to score a goal away at Everton.
That's hubris.
Yeah, he says, "The hot seat is warming up, but hopefully we're just getting started. If this is my last correspondence with you chaps, I want to say it's been a pleasure. Can't regard to
so, I like this guy.
He's like our man in the field.
Yeah, that's right.
So essentially, Palace v Leicester, Everton v Burnley, and Southampton v Man City. All those teams need to score for this bet to come in. It's currently 5.52-1 with Bet365. So our £50 will return £326, including stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and for more information go to gambleaware.co.uk. like I say, £260 so far for Prostate Cancer UK from Jack. We're with you this time, Jack. That's our bet of the week. Look out for goals in those three games.
Lovely old job. And can we look ahead to the weekend very quickly before we have to leave?
We can. Looking ahead to the weekend, Marcus, I'm surprised you didn't bring this one up, so I'm going to give you a nudge.
Yeah.
Juan Saber Varon came out of retirement at the age of 42 to play for Estudiantes.
He did.
They lost 2-0. The only highlight anyone could find online was him doing like an ill-advised volley from about 40 yards out, which went straight to the keeper.
Fantastic.
On target.
Yeah. But he's having a lovely time.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, that's the main thing.
Exactly.
It's an individual sport at the end of the day. And they've also got something to point out here. Portsmouth are playing Plymouth this weekend, and if you guys will indulge me in a bit of Portsmouth chat. Everyone, for some reason, people go, oh, it's a derby, it's a dockyard derby.
It's not.
I thought I'd give you a list of teams that are closer to Portsmouth than Plymouth. Birmingham. Ipswich.
All right.
Leicester.
Yeah.
Cardiff.
Mm-hmm.
Cannes and Le Havre.
That is good.
Charles
so is all
it's club. Not it's not really a derby, but they are indeed playing. It was top of the table clash. But anyway, let's get to what the listeners have said. Kevin Crowe says, I'm looking forward to the slow car crash that is Arsenal. Sorry again, Jim, I can't look away. I know Luke has been hard on Jim all season. Is that fair? He says, but honestly, that the manager's future is uncertain. Mamadou Sakho is doing back heels near his own box in the 90th minute on Monday night. the social media team at Arsenal have misspelled Silvinho's name on his own birthday.
Fantastic.
Hashtag Pete in.
Wenger's doing all of it. Wenger's doing those tweets.
This is
the problem. It's finally been too much.
The listeners want Pete to be the next Arsenal manager.
Yeah,
I'd take that for a season.
Yeah,
put the statue in first, and then I'll talk.
What you want the statue? Right,
this is why you don't get jobs.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
is that
saw
really...
Adams's head off and put my head on?
Yeah, that won't be a popular move.
I'll do it myself.
You could be the first person to ever be fired before you even take charge of a game.
Jebediah Springfield.
Mike Rice, looking forward to Brighton looking to seal promotion, so we have Southampton, Brighton and Bournemouth in the Premier League, the mighty South Coast. I don't think anyone is missing.
No.
Very nice, Mike.
Nah.
What have we got here? This is an email I was going to read out, but Pete read it out instead, so about your wrestling double life.
Okay, yeah.
I was thinking about it when you actually read it out earlier, and I realised I don't really understand anything about it, so I'm not going to read it again, obviously. We'll finish with Lee Curtis saying, the unfamous Dockyard Derby under the Friday Night Lights, Portsmouth v Argyle, second v third. Let Marcus know football might happen.
Yeah,
I think it will.
Well, despite those two sides, football should happen.
A version of football will happen.
Quite. And if you've got anything else planned on a Friday night ahead of watching that, you're an idiot.
You're an absolute joke of a human being.
Seriously, put your feet up in front of the telly, have a good time.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back, of course, next week with the Football Ramble on Monday and Tuesday, Tuesday.
Because of the bank holiday.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we deserve a little break as well.
No, we don't.
Jesus died for us too.
that's now you're talking.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.